Welcome into Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and some of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join in as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. What's up, everybody? This is one of your hosts, Zach Espericueta. The other host, Erica Perez, will be joining us in the second segment of the podcast. And on this episode, we'll be joined by Kelly Rosa Cabunac Romero. She is the festival coordinator and grants manager for Luminadia. Luminadia is a dynamic nonprofit arts organization dedicated to producing and promoting the arts to the city of San Antonio. They mainly accomplish this by managing the annual iconic Luminadia Contemporary Arts Festival. This year, the event takes place on Saturday, November 13th at Hemisphere downtown. Luminadia is one of the most prominent contemporary art festivals, not just in San Antonio, but in all of South Texas. They also manage the Luminadia Arts Foundation Grants Program and culturally driven creative placemaking projects throughout the city. Luminadia began as a city-led nonprofit initiative in 2008 by then-Mayor Phil Hardberger and the Department of Arts and Culture to highlight the arts in a nighttime festival. For the next several years, community advocates and art professionals served on volunteer committees to showcase the arts in various formats and locations, most notably downtown in front of the Alamo, along Houston Street, and into unused city parks. The night festival drew thousands into downtown and inspired all with the multimedia works, creative performances, and fanciful lighting. In 2015, Luminadia hired its first executive director, Kathy Armstrong, who re-energized the regional artists and arts experts while embracing a moving footprint. The Luminadia Contemporary Arts Festival was subsequently produced in the museum reach of the San Antonio Riverwalk and on the historic east side before once again settling downtown at Hemisphere. Over the next 5 years, Luminadia would strengthen and grow their commitment to artists, add to festival weekend offerings, continue placemaking with murals, diversify funding streams, and in 2020, launch the Luminadia Artists Foundation's annual grant program. In 2021, a new executive director, Yadira Lozano, takes the helm of this artist-centric organization to strategize the continuation of art delivery in a new world reality. I'm really excited to get to my interview with Kelly, but before I do, I want to remind the listeners that this episode is brought to you by Life from the Southside. Life from the Southside is a Latina-owned online and print publication that helps residents and visitors find things to do in the Southside of San Antonio and throughout Texas. Their goal is to improve and expand community relationships through promoting positive stories, interesting people, and businesses in the community. You can visit their website at southsidesanantonio.com, which is also where you can order the Live from the Southside magazine. You can also order your copy of the magazine on Amazon or simply subscribe to their newsletter to receive your online edition. Lastly, you can follow them at SouthsideSATX on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Huge thank you to April Monterosa and Live from the Southside for supporting the podcast. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and in our next segment, we'll be joined by Kelly Cabunac, so don't go anywhere.
This is what we're made of, the businesses that line our streets and the customers that make them flourish. As a business owner, this is your community, your members, your regulars, your neighbors. Your business is unique, so are your customers. No matter who you need to reach, Spectrum Reach is here to help you connect with the right message on every screen. Visit SpectrumReach.com to connect with a local advertising expert. That's SpectrumReach.com.
Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, Erica and I will be sitting down with Kelly Rosa Cabunac Romero from Luminadia. If you're like us, you're excited to hear from Kelly. So without further ado, here is our interview. All right, Kelly. Well, welcome into Searching for San Antonio. We're so happy to have you here. We just heard that you are a fellow UTSA alumni, so that's awesome. Birds up. So triple alumni up in this podcast this morning.
But yes.
How's it going? So how's everything going with Luminadia? It's about to start.
It is. So we're down to crunch time. It has been crazy because, you know, last year we didn't do the festival because of COVID. We kind of did things a little bit different, right? We had some working artist grants and whatnot. But this year, you know, we hit the ground running with a whole new team ready to do the work. And, you know, we had some amazing, we took 2020 to like reset, I guess you could say. We had some strategic planning sessions. Everybody was like, man, we just want to see South Texas artists highlighted again, right? And really show that that we're not just the Alamo City, right? And Market Square, but that we really are a great place for contemporary arts across all the disciplines, whether that's, you know, multidisciplinary painters and visual artists, or if it's digital media artists or musicians or dancers, or, you know, there's so many different medias nowadays. I don't even know what to call some of these artists that do these like video mapping projections. I'm like, you know, we're excited. It's coming up. It's snuck up on us. It looks like we're going to have some nice fall weather. Get those sweaters out.
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And for the listeners, you know, this episode is coming out on Monday, November 8th. But of course, the event itself is November 13th, right?
6 p.m. to midnight, November 13th, Hemisphere Park. We're really excited. We've got some great food vendors, y'all. There are some great, like, you know, I think there's going to be all the typical foods, right? Your tacos, your gorditas, your funnel cakes, all that, you know, typical Sananto stuff. But y'all, there's also going to be some amazing stuff, like a beef curry bowl, right? Ooh. And the American Indians in Texas are going to come out and do some really cool, like, you know, surprise stuff. So, you know, you definitely are going to have a great selection of food. And we've got some really amazing installations happening, you know, Pop Pistol. If you follow us on social media, then you've seen what we've been sharing, right? Our featured artist Roll Call. I mean, like, we're just super excited to also highlight a lot of the Black, Brown, Indigenous, and queer artists of color, you know, and women artists who I think have often been left out of the narrative when you're looking at contemporary art. So I think we're just really excited to have the festival back. Also, I think, you know, it's been rough on all of us. We've definitely missed comunidad. You know, we miss our community. And so we're very excited and we feel very honored that we're able to put the festival back on again, outdoors, you know, and we've activated all these outdoor spaces. We've left lots of space in the footprint so people can social distance, you know, and we've gone above and beyond to make sure that we're following very strict COVID, you know, protocols, because at the end of the day, we want to see our community, but we also want our community to be safe.
Right. Is this a free event, right? This is something that is open to everybody.
It is. It's totally free. It's family friendly. So bring the kids out, completely free. You know, and we've got some really cool stuff happening, you know, this time around. And I think, it's the kind of show that, you know, people of all ages will enjoy.
Absolutely. And I want to back up a little bit, Kelly, because I don't want to gloss over your backstory. You know, and for the listeners who don't know who you are, kind of give that backstory. How did, you know, what is your role there with Luminadia? How did that come about? And then go into the kind of the origins of Luminadia. Let the listeners know what is, because I'll be honest, I have actually never been to this event before. So I'm excited to learn about it.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually like a local artivista is what I call myself. So it's like an artivist, right? It's an artist whose art is not separate from their activism. And I, you know, I play in a couple bands around town and I do ballet folklorico and I do theater and all that stuff. And
you say it like, so casually, but it's so admirable. Like, own it. Share with us this is who you are.
A super cool web series right now on the Food Network, highlighting the west side of San Antonio. Nice. Of our Dia de los Muertos menu. And so,
Did that have something? I'm sorry to interrupt. Did that have something to do with Jaime's place and Jaime Macias?
It did. So the. It's so funny because you know how like on Instagram you'll get these messages from people and you're like, that's not real, I'm not going to answer it, right? And you leave it in your like requested messages. So I got one of those production team in Austin and they were like, hey man, here's a link to this Juneteenth thing that we did with the Food Network, and they've invited us to do one for Dia de los Muertos. We think you'd be great. And I was like, nombre, this is spam. This is that Instagram like, hey, help us sell t-shirts, right? And so I didn't answer for a few days. And then some of my artist friends were like, "Estás loca, like answer." And so I was all, okay, I answered. And they were like, "Hey, listen, we looked you up and we think you'd be a great fit, but we also want you to help produce the show." And I was all, "What is a producer on a TV show? Because I, yo que voy a saber, I don't know those things." But it turned out to be really awesome because they let me help like scout all the chefs and the location. And I was like, "Well, we have to go to the West Side."
Yes.
And everyone, no, for reals, girl. And everyone was like, "Oh, they're probably going to go to Market Square, que la vida." No, I showed them three cultural art centers on the West Side and the South Side, and they love Time Is. But I think it's because I was like, "Oh, it's what I do on the weekends. Like after my gig, we go to Jaime's." Like, we
And you know, Jaime's place is so like underappreciated. So I was there the opening weekend. I had Jaime on the podcast like last summer, you know, when he was still struggling to get opened up, right? When a lot of places were struggling to open up. And he has an awesome story. He's so dedicated to his West Side and his upbringing there. I love it. So like super side note, you know, plug for Jaime's place. No, go visit that place.
And I said that, right? That it was like, it opened at a time when we were all in need of comunidad, but we had to stay safe. And it's become like, you know, like my favorite ice house. Like you could, it's not really an ice. It is, but it isn't. And so the Food Network loved it. And they, we shot the whole show there and I was all hyped. Cause like, you know, I'm all
of you did that.
Well, not only that, but like we were able to bring like $1,000 into the West Side and the whole crew was people of color, the whole cast, like, it was just such a great experience. And to be honest, like I was like, they're going to say no. Like at any minute, they're going to be like, "Forget this little girl. She's effing crazy." Right. And they were like, "All right, what else?" And I was like, "Where am I? Is this Oz? Like you just make me request." And in the end, it was so chingon because we were able to feature Joaquin Muerte from the Nahualatos, right? Local community health worker who's doing amazing stuff with like recipes. We were able to highlight Maricela Holguin, right? Sweet Chelas. Jaime and Dorothy came out and did like this awesome little like familia set. And then Malena from Centro Cultural Aslan, who started like Dia de los Muertos celebrations here in town, right? And it was just so incredible to be able to highlight all of that. That's like a very long-winded version of what I do. So I think, you know, I started working with Luminaria, and I think it's really interesting because our new executive director, right, Yadira Lozano, she's on the Arts Commission, and they had these meetings, right, at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, just like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and they were like, "We want all the artists to come, and we want you to tell us, I don't know, give us feedback." And yo no tengo pelos en la lengua. Like if y'all ask me to say something, I'm going to say something. And so I went to these community talk back. I don't know what they were called. And I had a lot to say. And I had a lot to say about the way that the city distributes funding, both in terms of organizations, right? And in terms of individual artists. And I had a lot to say about why doesn't our funding match the demographics of our city? Our city is almost 70% Latino. Right. And yet that's not how we fund things. And that's not what's represented in our arts, in our culture. Right. And so I was very vocal at this meeting and I was like, "Y otra cosa," and another thing. And I think this should happen. And I was real vocal about Luminaria. Right. Because it started as this project between artists and the city. And it was, you know, this way that the artists were you know, going to bring this festival, right? This festival of contemporary art to the city. And I think, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, bureaucracy or whatever, a lot of artists were taken out of that equation. I had a lot to say about that. And I think it's great that the city was like, okay, all right. And, you know, they redid some stuff and they hired Yadira and, you know, she had this whole vision of like, well, how can we take the festival back to its roots, right? With this inspiration of a community celebration between artists and, you know, local artists and community. And So I had all that to say. And I also, you know, I've got a lot of experience. You know, the thing is, you can't make it as just a regular artist. You know, you got to have like your side gig or your main gig, right? And I'm a grant writer and I work in nonprofit consulting and whatnot. And I went to a lot of those strategic sessions and I was very like, and I think you should do this. And I think you should do that. And so when Yadira took over, you know, she kind of started from scratch, right? Like, well, how do we do what they said they wanted to do in these sessions? And so I came on as the festival coordinator. And so, you know, that I just got to say, man, like now every time I go to a big event, I'm always like, man, congratulations, Mr. Organizer, Senora Organizer. Like these porta potties are.
It's a lot more work.
Oh my God.
People don't realize all the things that go into it.
It is insane. Like the amount of work that the team put in, I was just like, I just thought, I don't know what I thought, but I didn't think this. Like, it involved street closures, permits, food truck permits. Like, I learned things that I could talk about generators, the temperature of chicken, and all kinds of crazy stuff, and where to get off-duty park police officers, and you know what prices are for. It's just so much that goes into a festival, and you know, it's crazy to come out of a no festival year, right? Because like, what do we build on? 2019 seemed like such a long time ago at this point.
Seriously, some people don't even remember it happened. They're like, wait, did that year even? Like, what?
For sure.
No, and so, you know, it's just, it's been a lot of trying to get back to the roots, right? It's been a lot of trying to, how do we get back to, because, you know, one of the things that came up in the strategic planning sessions was like, why do you keep bringing artists from other places?
Yes. And, you know, sorry, before you go on. So this whole, like, going back to the original plan of highlighting specific sorts of artists, how long has Luminaria been around that it had the time to kind of make that switch up, I guess?
Sure. It started in 2008 as like initiative, right? And so this is our 14th year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Doing it, right? And we, you know, it's moved around. It's been in different forms, different, you know, capacities. Where we've been at Hemisphere the last couple times. And, you know, I think we are sort of the Texas's premier contemporary arts festival, because, you know, we really don't have a lot of contemporary art stuff here. And I think the way that we've approached contemporary arts this year is really something that the community is going to enjoy. You know, we took the time to listen, and we really put together a curatorial team that were not just leaders in the field, but leaders in the community, you know, that really had a pulse on what the comunidad wanted to see, what they wanted to hear. And I think, you know, it's going to be great. And we do some amazing stuff, right? Like, we've got our Artist Foundation grant program where we distributed $54,000 for new works to 7 local artists who are going to feature their work in this year's festival. And that's something that came out of the COVID times, right? Like, how do we continue to support our artists during this time? And I think, you know, it continues to grow, because now we don't just have contemporary art, but we have multimedia works and creative performances, right? In addition to what we're famous for, right? Which is these incredible light installations. And so, you know, I think this year you're going to be able to see those light installations that we're known for, along with some amazing contemporary art pieces, great music. You're also going to see some dance and some theater, right?
Because
it's important to highlight the arts across the disciplines. And, you know, we just want to celebrate with our community. It's been such a hard time. And I think, you know, what better way than in a safe environment, which is outdoors, and highlighting the best and brightest of South Texas. So we're really excited for this year.
Well, you hit on a few key points there that made me try to envision what Luminaria is going to look like, because, again, I've never been, and I'm so excited to, you know, to attend this year. I've seen pictures online or through the media of the light installations. You know, you kind of alluded to that. You mentioned that it's going to be outdoors. You also mentioned that it's at Hemisphere, but kind of give myself, but also any listeners who haven't been to Luminadia before, like, all right, I'm walking up to Hemisphere. Like, what am I looking at? What can I expect? You know, when I think of Hemisphere, I think of the convention center. I think of the tower. I think of the little paseo that you can walk through, you know, but what are we going to see when we walk up to?
Sure. So we're activating all those spaces. We're activating different entry points, right? So that people that are walking down Nueva will see something going on. We've got our great light installations. There's this one that I'm really excited about. I'm trying to find it here. I want to find it. It's like a serpent. And it's this amazing serpent that you'll, let me get to it.
Talk about like the size of these things, because I actually did get to go in 2018 and it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's going to be pretty lights, whatever. And you show up and you're like, oh, wait a second.
No.
This is like immersive.
So I will say this. There's one stage that's really cool. It's like a massive video projection of all of these amazing TPR artists. We partnered with TPR and we recorded them. And so we weren't sure. That's the other thing, y'all. We weren't sure where this was going. Like, we were like, you know what? It's not going to be in person. And then we were like, oh, wait, it is going to be in person. And then Delta was all JK. And we were like, oh my God, is it not going to be in person? So we were trying to come up with things that we were like, all right, what can we do that if it's not in person, we still have virtual programming. But if it is in person, we can use what we did. And so like, you're going to see some amazing giant, giant projections of bands like the Hotel Diplomats, Alison Alonso, right? And that'll be projected. The Serpent by Studio 11. It's a progressive contemporary space that has a gallery for all things art. And I am so excited, y'all, because they are doing this amazing like thing. You like walk through it. I don't even know how to, it's like a serpent. You put on your mask, social distancing. You put some hand sanitizer and you walk through the installation. And so just changing the way people think about art, right? You go to museums and it's don't touch that, go over there, stay away. We've got a lot of really cool interactive stuff, right? And I think some other really cool stuff that we did, we partnered with the Mexican Institute, right, of cultures that's there. And Nain Leon, who's a multidisciplinary artist, has been collecting water bottles for like about 3 months now for his installation. So we're super excited. We also have a fashion show this year.
Oh my God.
So, oh wow.
Fabian Alejandro Diaz from Casa de Ojos is putting together just this incredible fashion show that involves all of the mediums, all of the things. And I'm really excited about that. I'm like trying to pick out the ones that I'm really excited about. The Donkey Lady will be joining us.
What? Wait a second. Mm-hmm. That's like an iconic San Antonio story here.
Yeah, man. So our theater artist who got one of our big grants, right, we're featuring their work, Marisela Barrera, you know, she's an amazing Chicana, Tejana, local theater artist, and she's got, watch out, y'all, she's got some, I don't want to give too much away, but let me just say, like, we are definitely changing the game in terms of what counts as contemporary art and what does contemporary art look like. And we've definitely, you know, given a platform, especially to artists of color, to just run with it. Ana de Luna is another theater artist who's going to do something really cool through film, right? So we're just really trying to incorporate different things. I do want to say we lost a Chicano great artist this year, Adán Hernández. Presente, you know, he did all the artwork for the iconic Chicano film Blood In, Blood Out. And our honorary chair, Mr. Jesse Borrego, we're so excited to have him, Crucito. And there's going to be a tribute, right? We're going to have in our art gallery, we do have one indoor space this year. So the whole festival is outdoors. We've activated Plaza Mexico. We've activated down by the Riverwalk, by the convention center, the grotto. Lots of spaces are activated. Our map is beautiful. I just saw the final before it's going to go to print. And it's this super cool little fold out map. And so we've activated all these spaces and we do have one indoor space with like an entrance in one way, you walk through it out the other way. Cause again, right, strict COVID policies. And in there is going to be this tribute to the late Adán Hernández, you know, who in 1993, he blew up in Blood In, Blood Out. And, you know, we're really excited. It'll be on display as a family memorial, allowing our community to not only pay their respects, but to heal. You know, I think it's been such a hard year, and we lost so many of our artists. And, you know, I think it's important that we create a space where our community can not only honor and pay tribute to this incredible, you know, artist, but also heal as a community. And so, you know, definitely don't miss our tribute to Adán.
What do you feel is Luminadia's purpose? You know, what does it bring to the art community? I know you touched on it earlier, but, you know, many people that have heard at least of Luminadia know of the event, but just kind of year round, you know, what is the overall purpose?
Sure. Well, I think especially, you know, in the times of COVID, we're on the front lines supporting our local artists, not just by giving them a platform, you know, but we're also giving them the financial support that they need during one of the most difficult times, right, in our day. And I think, you know, by creating community in that way, we're able to promote culture, diversity, and inventiveness. Right. And we're hoping that through that, we're helping to promote a brighter future for our local artists. We want to see them use Luminadia as like a stepping stone to get, you know, bigger and better exposure for themselves. And I think, you know, that's very important. And we're also, you know, we're creating a space where our community, not just San Antonio, but South Texas can be proud of their own and what they have to offer, and share that, right, at a national scale, because we do have visitors who come from all over the country. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes this year, right? A lot of people are getting vaccinated and they're back to traveling, and, you know, we're really not sure how many out of town visitors we'll get. But definitely, you know, sort of being a place where people can come and see that South Texas is about contemporary art, and that we do have some of, you know, the most amazing talents across disciplines, and that we have some really amazing young and upcoming talent.
You know, there was also a national review that we had heard about. Luminadia had put together a national review. Can you tell us, or can you tell the listeners a little bit about that, and what were some of the findings?
Sure. So we, you know, people were like, one of the things in those strategic planning sessions is everybody was like, we want to have the festival back in person. We want to have it in person. We're tired of virtual. We want to do it in person. And our executive director, Yadira, was like, are people even doing stuff in person? What's the standard? And so we looked it up, right? I wrote the research paper. It's like about 35 pages long. And I looked at over 30 different massive studies on what were other arts organizations doing, how were they sort of, you know, coming up with innovative programming during the times of COVID. And I think one of the coolest things that they were doing is there was this major shift back to family programming, events where the whole family can come out together. And I thought, we've always been that. Luminadia has always been a family event, right? So how can we continue to center that, right? How can we do that? According to Americans for the Arts, financial losses to nonprofits, arts, and culture organizations nationally due to COVID are an estimated $15.7 billion. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, those are just nonprofits. And I'm like, well, who do y'all think they employ, right? It's all of the artists. It's all of the people that are doing both the art and the administration side, right? And so it was just so much billions of dollars in the industry that basically stopped, right? Like it just kind of froze for a while. We also saw that 63% of artists and creatives became fully unemployed. They just totally lost their jobs in 2019 and in 2020, right? Like over half of our creatives were just totally out. And on an average, they lost $37,000 as like their income, right? Like that was as an artist. And I think, you know, it's already very difficult. People have a hard time. Like artists don't have like my yearly salary is 30,000, right? Like some years they make 30, some years they make 40. But, you know, on average, they lost. That's like a job, right? It's like a regular job, $37,000, you know, almost $37,500 just gone. And in this one I thought was so interesting. This one like shook me. Of the 50 states in our nation, in terms of absolute losses for creative industries and occupants, Texas ranked third, following California and New York. And that just shook me. And I was like, oh my goodness. I thought it would have been like some other, you know, coastal state, or I don't know what I thought, but I was like, y'all, we have to do something. Like, our artists are suffering and they are out of work. And, you know, when I looked at the numbers, it was even worse for artists of color. You know, like, they experienced it, like, it was something like 60% more than their white counterparts or their peers that aren't artists of color. And I was like, my gosh, you know, like, when you look at the demographics, and we found that, you know, in nonprofits that are running these arts festivals, that are doing all of this work in the community, they had 5 times the average job loss compared to, like, other nonprofits. So, like, arts nonprofits even were suffering. Like, the arts just took a hit after already taking a hit during a really ugly administration who cut funding to arts left and right. And then we took the COVID hit. And so we were really just trying to figure out after, you know, and those were like the scary things. There are also some amazing things that happened. Like I said, programming returned to family programming. Programming suddenly became accessible to people that it was never accessible to before. So then there was like opera in the park for free, where before that opera was like in the opera house and it cost $50 for like the really bad seats, right? And so this amazing thing started happening too, where all of a sudden the arts mattered again to everyday people, right? Like the funding and all of that, but people were turning to the arts to help get them through, right? And so, you know, after all that research, and of course in there's all these protocols for like the best practices during COVID and everyone having outdoor events, right? And things like when you do go into the gallery, we are gonna ask that you put a mask on, right? Like this, we're trying to be respectful. Our whole team has been vaccinated, you know, because we're spending so much time community, we want to make sure that we're being safe as possible. And that's what that national report has. And, you know, when we put the report together, we put a lot of these handbooks in there, right? We took the most important pieces or what we felt was important for South Texas, and we put it together as a resource so that, you know, other people throwing big events wouldn't have to sift through 35 research papers like I did. You know, and I think it was just incredible to hear that Texas ranked third in creative losses across the board in terms of production, you know, talent, artists, all of that stuff. And I was just so surprised.
What's kind of great how y'all turned it around, and now you have an emphasis on the creators that were largely affected. So that's awesome.
Indeed. And it's so interesting that like that was like what we got in our strategic planning, but that's also what the research showed. It just showed that like artists of color suffered more. They were the first to lose their jobs. They were the first to, you know, experience that massive unemployment. And then a lot of them don't qualify for unemployment because they weren't working your regular W-4 40-hour week jobs, right? They're contract artists. And so you know, and our working artist grant covered stuff that other grants wouldn't. Like, was it your CPS bill? Pay your CPS bill. What was it, right? And we continued to give those grants out. Like, we just had another round, and some of our grant winners are writers, podcast people, cultural ambassadors, you know, groups that are going to go on tour and take our culture across the nation. And so we really are just trying to be an ambassador for art, and for, you know, not just visual art, but all of the arts, you know, for San Antonio. And, you know, this is what we have, and we have some amazing stuff here.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's important and it's vital that organizations and events like Luminadia exist, you know, to be the ambassadors that artists need, that local artists need. So we're extremely appreciative of it. I'm sure they're extremely appreciative of it. You know, Kelly, something we always ask on Searching for San Antonio, it revolves around this question. And that is, what do you think it means to be a true San Antonian? And I may have missed it earlier, but were you born and raised here?
I wasn't. So it's so interesting, right? Because I think I am of the firm believer and Steve Jordan says it, right? El Parche, he says it in one of his songs, like, there's a Chicano barrio is a Chicano barrio, right? Whether it's Aztlán is Aztlán, right? The Southwest is the Southwest, whether it's Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona. And sure, there's differences, right? And when I did come to San Antonio, I came here about 10 years ago for grad school, actually. I looked at a lot of graduate programs and I had such a side story, but it's not because it's connected. I had such a magical experience when I came to San Antonio. I had been to South by Southwest before on tour, right? And I remember being in Austin and I remember being like, man, these tacos suck. Like, these are the worst tacos I've ever had in my life. And everybody was like, oh, just about an hour south. And we did. We came through San Antonio on that tour. And I was like, carne guisada is the best taco I've ever had in my life. You know, and I grew up in California. My dad is a migrant farm worker. Well, now he's retired. But he used to pick grapes. And there's this underground railroad of pickers, right? Of jornaleros, like my dad, pescadores. And they would spend the seasons in different places. And so my dad would spend like certain months in California, and then he would come to Texas and spend certain months in Texas, and then he would go up north. And so my dad had like all these records from Texas, right? The Texas Tornadoes, y que Freddy Fender, Santiago Jimenez. And I grew up listening to that because that's like what my dad listened to. So I grew up in California, right? But both my mom and my dad's families on their way to California made stops in Texas. So like I think three of my mom's brothers and sisters were born in Texas, like in different places in Texas on their way to California. And I think that's like a real common story, right? Of people moving fluidly through the Southwest. So after school, after I graduated high school, I went to Mexico for a little bit. Then I went to New York for a long time. I did my undergrad there. And then I was going to go to grad school. So I visited some schools in Arizona, some schools back home in California, and I visited San Antonio, right? Because UTSA is a great program in Mexican American Studies. And when I came, I happened to come and visit during the Conjunto Festival. And I was like, no, man. Conjunto, the whole festival, because, you know, I grew up a huge Conjunto fan because my dad would bring home 8 tracks and records from Texas. And so, you know, I got off my plane and some of my friends were like, we're gonna go to the Conjunto festival, and I was like, okay, let's go see what this is about. And I met Flaco Jimenez. Nombre, I was like,
who's also gonna be at Luminaria.
This is the plug. I was fangirling out because I was like, dude, Flaco Jimenez, I don't care what the school is like. I'm moving here and I'm going to be in San Antonio. And I moved to the west side. Now I live in the south side, but I moved to the west side and I met Flaco Jimenez and I was like, it's a sign my ancestors are telling me, right? And I think Flaco is one of those like hometown heroes that like some people really love him, but some people are like, who? And I'm always like, oh, he's royalty, right? And so we're really super excited to have our headlining band is the Tex-Maniacs, right? The Smithsonian recording artists, the Tex-Maniacs, featuring Flaco Jimenez. And it's so important to hold space for him because, like, ya está viejito. He's older. Yeah,
for sure.
He's older and, you know, he's not doing so well. And I think if we could just expose a whole generation of people that, and people are all like, wait, at the Contemporary Arts Festival, you're going to have Flaco Jimenez? And we're like, yes, we are. Because Tejano is contemporary music, right? Like the Tex-Maniacs are contemporary. And I think, you know, we're going back to our roots and we're really trying to highlight the best and the brightest of San Antonio. And I just think it's so amazing to be able to just say that, you know, Flaco Jimenez is going to close out Luminaria. And I think, you know, there's a couple, back to the original question, like what makes you a San Antonian? I think there's a couple things, right? I think is do you know the words to at least one Selena song? Is it Biri Biri Bamba? Is it Baila Esta Cumbia? Can you do the washing machine, right? Like, do you, where's your favorite taco spot? You better have one. You got to tell someone, like, go to this spot or that spot, right? And I think, you know, another one is can you dance? Can you get down to Tejano, Conjunto? Put on your boots, right, and come out to our Contemporary Arts Festival and show us you could get down to Flaco Jimenez. I think another thing that is is what I think is great about San Antonio is it's a place where artists can grow. Like we really, you know, San Antonio as a community supports its artists. And I think that, you know, if you're down for your city, then come out and support your city and like support the 210 and support the artists that are doing the work. And when people come here, right, that's what they come to see. They don't come to see the symphony or the ballet. They come to see the Tex-Mex art, the Tex-Mex cultura, right, that we've made, you know, pretty well known and pretty famous. And I think that we can shift what that means and we can expand what that means and we can create space for new artists like Pop Pistol, right, to expand on what that means. And I think that that's the beauty of Luminaria, right, getting back to its roots, is that we're able to hold space for people, legends like Flaco Jimenez, right, and Max Baca from the Tex-Maniacs. But then we're also holding new space for artists like, you know, Jeremy King, an up-and-coming East Side hip-hop artist, or, Alison Alonso, who's a great vocalist, you know, doing amazing things in R&B. And I think that's the beauty of Luminaria, that you can come and you can experience everything that San Antonio has to offer, whether it's contemporary art or all the lights and the lasers. We're going to have all that too, don't worry. And this thing that I don't really understand, it's like video mapping and they put things on the projector and it moves and it goes with the music and it is amazing. And, you know, I have to call them and be like, what are your tech needs? And I'll get like projector, an extension cord. And after that, I'm like, I don't know. That I'm mesmerized because they're so passionate about it. And, you know, I sat on the curatorial team for Luminaria and it was so hard, y'all. It was so hard to narrow it down. And I really got to commend Yadira, you know, as the new executive director. I just watched her move stuff around to try to get as much money as she could directly into artists' pockets to put this work on. And, you know, I think if you came to our press conference that we had officially announcing the event, you got a taste of that. We had Ballet Folclórico de San Antonio and everyone is like, oh yeah, like Ballet Folclórico. And I'm like, nah, fam, they did a contemporary piece to La Llorona. Right. And so, like I said, just like redefining and showing that, like, yes, we have all this traditional stuff, but we're also capable of all these other things. And I think, you know, at a time when, you know, things have been so difficult, I think it's a great time to highlight our local talent, you know, South Texas, San Antonio. And man, it was hard. It was hard. There were so many amazing artists who applied across all the disciplines, theater, dance, poetry. Eddie Vega is going to do a whole like slam poet thing with like poets that are going to come. And, you know, I think that's great. And I think that's incredible to hold space for our creative writers too.
We want to wrap up, Kelly, by asking you, you know, kind of last question here. How do you, or how does Luminaria want to be remembered in the San Antonio art community?
Oh, that's such a good one. You know, I think I'm going to go back to what I said. When the pandemic hit, we all turned to the arts for comfort, right? Whether that was our favorite playlist, our favorite movie, we watched our favorite series over and over again, whatever it was, we turned to the arts, and the arts became a space for us to heal, right? It became a place for us to hold hope, and the hope that all the artists involved, you know, in this year's Luminaria are able to come together and heal as a community and celebrate life, because, you know, it's so important, I think, especially now, to celebrate the joy of life and all of our accomplishments and our vibrance and our, you know, resilience, right? We're able to survive in even the most difficult of circumstances. And I think, you know, Luminaria was here for us to help artists and creatives continue creating. And now we're here and we're putting out this, you know, this opportunity for artists. And I think, you know, one of the beautiful things about Luminaria is not only does it help our artists, right, our local artists across all disciplines, but it helps our community, right, to heal, to find healing in art, to see themselves represented, whether that's through being a San Antonian or being a San Antonian of color, right, or a queer San Antonian or a woman. We really wanted to highlight that in this year's festival. And I think it's going to show. I think it's already showing, you know, we have our, if you don't already follow us on all the social media platforms.
You know, it's a good thing that you're mentioning that, because yeah, that's actually literally what we work into, is like, tell our listeners where they can find you, because they're definitely hyped by now. They want to know.
So I would say right now, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are doing this really cool thing called our featured artist roll call, right? And so every day leading up to the festival, we are just highlighting the people that are going to be in our festival this year. And we've done some really amazing graphics and really cool. If you follow us on Instagram, we're sharing like behind the scenes stuff. So you can see like Pop Pistol, y'all, is Serifaron. They are making amazing, like, light, I can't even describe it, but definitely follow us on Instagram to get all the, like, behind the scenes sneak peeks.
What's the handle?
Oh, you could just hashtag Luminaria, okay, or hashtag Luminaria 2021 if you want to get real specific. And you'll see all kinds of reels. Artists are starting to tag us and stuff as they're finishing up the final touches. And y'all, I get goosebumps. Like, the work they are doing is amazing. And, you know, Hemisphere is a great spot. It's a great place. Muertos Fest is there. Diwali is there. I feel like every weekend, right, leading up to Luminaria, there's been something amazing. So, you know, I'm also very, you know, we feel really blessed to have the team we have. Roberto's great. Anel is great. Santos, Jadira, Gabby. You know, we're just working really hard. We're still looking for volunteers. Visit our website and our social media. We posted out. We got a lot of student volunteers this year from Mexican American Studies programs. So we're really happy to like create these sort of community partnerships, because now we're connecting those Mexican American Studies teachers with artists who are going to like do classroom visits. And so,
you know what? It's funny because I work with a school district, and I literally had a principal like saying like, we need more volunteer opportunities. So you mentioning this, I'm like, oh.
And, you know, we like have a whole team that, you know, I think we're like really well-rounded in terms of our skill set. And we've all been involved in the arts and in the community for a really long time. And I think it shows in the work. We're like really committed. You know, we all sat through the strategic planning sessions, and we read every single one of those surveys, and we really took it to heart. You know, like I feel so much pressure. No. That down. But we're just so excited to be able, you know, because like I said, there was a moment where we were like, do we have to go back to virtual? Like, we have stuff. So we're just really excited. And we're also just excited to highlight artists who haven't had a chance to be highlighted yet. And I think, you know, we've got an amazing mix of like new up and coming artists and well-seasoned artists. And I think that that's another thing that makes us, you know, an amazing festival. We're so excited to have Jesse Borrego as our honorary chair. You know, and we've got so much stuff up our sleeves.
Yes. Just one more time, can you give us like you said hashtag Luminaria to find y'all. I don't know if you want to drop the website info and then just kind of reiterate the day and time that it's all going to go down.
So follow us on all of our social media. You can just look up Luminaria San Antonio. We pop up right away. We use the hashtag Luminaria 2021 for this year. Our festival is on Saturday, November 13th. We're going to kick things off at 6 p.m. and we'll be going until midnight. We're practicing social distancing. Again, it is a free event open to the entire community. We are family friendly, so feel free to bring the kids. And we're especially excited this year to be highlighting local South Texas artists across all the disciplines, and we've got some amazing surprises in store. So please come out and join us. Hemisphere Park, 6 p.m. Saturday, November 13th.
Well, Kelly, thank you again for joining us on Searching for San Antonio. We really appreciated the conversation. You brought a lot of energy, and I love it. I honestly think this was like the first episode that I've recorded that there was just Spanish involved. Like, yes. Believe it or not, and I've had a lot of Hispanic guests on this podcast, but no one speaking as much Spanish as you. So I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciated it.
No, thank y'all. Go Runners.
It was wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much.
See y'all at the festival.
That's going to wrap up our interview with Kelly Cabanac from Luminadia. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back with our interview recap. Stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Zach. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement. And as your advisor, I can not only show you how money truly works, but put you in control of your money today and in retirement. If you're looking to schedule a financial review, please give me a call at 210-760-0409. All right, so welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. What did you think about our guest?
I thought she was vibrant. I loved her. I'm hoping I can befriend her later if we're not already on a friendship basis.
That's how it felt. It felt like we knew her, or at least that's how she was talking with us. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that. You know, sometimes every episode takes a life of its own. You know, sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes it's very lively. It's funny. And, you know, this one, she added a lot of humor. And like I mentioned it to her, and this is the truth. Like, that was the most Spanish I think I've ever had on the San Antonio Podcast Network. Yeah. So that was really cool.
I thought her, what it meant to be San Antonian bit was also very, it was different. I haven't heard one that was that specific. She really was like, oh, this is the list.
I know, for sure. And I think it's good because, you know, even though you're newer to the podcast and you bring that perspective of being a transplant to San Antonio, and she is too, right? She's not originally from San Antonio, but she made a very good point. Like, the barrio is the barrio no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, and yes, there's different versions and there's different aspects of the culture in different towns and cities, but you know, a lot of things are the same.
Yeah.
A lot of things are the same. And I love that she brought up that point. So that's, you know, she was the first person to answer that question in terms of like the arts. You know, that conversation has been brought up very briefly on this podcast mm-hmm. about the arts here in San Antonio, but not enough.
Right.
And that's another reason why I was so glad to feature Luminadia on this podcast, was because we really haven't discussed the arts on here. And I really wanted to do that. What I think is ironic, too, is that this episode's coming out, like I mentioned earlier in the interview, on the 8th. And it's actually very relevant to a conversation that was being had on Twitter. And I think you saw the same thing, right?
Is it the essay report and the murals in downtown?
Yeah, about the murals.
Oh, my God.
And you know,
literally twitching. Y'all can't see it, but I'm twitching. Like, it's just...
And I know those conversations are more so for Essay Talk, mm-hmm. but I just felt like during the interview, I was thinking about the Twitter interactions I've seen, and I was thinking about that story because it's so relevant, you know, and people like Kelly, organizations and events like Luminadia, they're trying to improve that across the city. And then you have organizations that are trying to hold them back.
Right. It's, you know, so
and
ridiculous.
It's so disappointing.
Quote me on it. It's ridiculous. guys, I mean, the arts can help us in so many ways. And every time I hear that the arts are being, you know, the funding is getting cut or that they're being affected in any sort of negative way, it's like, I'd be nowhere if I couldn't play music in the morning before I'm getting ready for work. I would be nowhere if I didn't have some sort of artistic form to unwind in the evenings, whether it be television or painting or hobbies or whatever. Like, so yeah, her passion resonated with me for sure.
For sure. And I think that's a topic we're going to have to move and talk about on Essay Talk. Yeah, we're going to have to get into that on the next Essay Talk episode. But definitely enjoyed having Kelly on here. I'm so excited to attend my first ever Luminadia. My girlfriend's been, and obviously you mentioned you had been before, but I've been here my whole life. It's almost 29 years and I've never been to Luminadia, you know, and it started in 08. So I have no excuse
none
to attend Luminadia. So I know we're going to do it this this time around. But just a reminder, I know Kelly touched on following the hashtag, but you can also find them at Luminadia SA. That's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So if you're a social butterfly and you want to go follow them on all those platforms. Again, the event, to reiterate one last time, is Saturday, November 13th from 6 p.m. to midnight. So you'll probably see us out there. If you do, don't hesitate to say hi. You can come say hi.
We're
but
here.
Definitely enjoy yourselves. I know we will. Erica, any last key points?
No, I'm excited. I love it there. What you said, if you see me out there, say hi. Even well, if I come off as shy. Sorry, I'm a lot shyer in person than I am behind a screen. So.
Well, with that said, that is going to wrap up another great episode of Searching for San Antonio. Thank you to Kelly one last time. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast on your preferred listening platform. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we also ask that you leave a rate and review if you haven't already.
And if you haven't already, nominate us for the best of the city.
Ooh, you brought it up. You brought it up. Yes. So in November, the nominations
right
start
now.
For best of the city.
Yes.
San Antonio Magazine. If you've been following us, you know, since last year, you knew that I was like politicking my butt off
yes.
last year to get at the
Let's
best of the
again.
City award.
Let's do it again.
So yes, definitely. We want to get back to back. So go to San Antonio Magazine, go to their website. Okay. You can nominate us for best of the city podcast. And then in December, we're going to turn around and we're going to ask you for the vote. So
yes.
definitely do that. If you want to keep up with the show and our other talk show series, Essay Talk, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find us on all those platforms at SA Pod Network. If you have questions about advertising or partnership opportunities with us, you can reach out to myself or Erica. Both of our emails, it's just our first name at sapodnetwork.com. If you're a listener and want to support the show, please visit the link in bio on any of the social media platforms. Click the little support monthly button. You can support monthly 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, $9.99 a month, whichever one, it always helps. But thank you again so much for listening. And viva San Antonio.